And a very good Sunday morning to everybody out there. Thank you for tuning in. It is time for this week's edition of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app, where we will be going through your hottest stories, the hottest takes, and the hottest topics of the week in the world of sports and beyond. And we got a great lineup for you today. As always, we're going to start things off going around the diamond, talking all things Major League Baseball, about your regional teams of interest, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox. They're all in the thick of it when it comes to the playoff race, and they all got a chance to, you know, see each other in the postseason later on. So we'll keep you up to date with that every week, as we always do. We'll talk some NFL football, as it is finally football season again. We're finally there. It's been, you know, far too long since the Super Bowl, and it's the most wonderful time of the year, you might say, because football is finally back, and there's no shortage of topics when it comes to that. And we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week, as we always do, and let you know what you have missed throughout this week in the world of sports, and maybe talk a little college football, because with the NFL season coming back, that, you know what that means. It's also time for college football, and this is going to be a historic season, as it's going to be the first time we'll get to see the 12-team playoff format come into play when it comes to college football. So thank you for joining us. Hope everybody out there had a great weekend, and hopefully you got a good week planned ahead. I was just at Citi Field yesterday for the Mets and Marlins game, and let me just tell you, it's always a great time at Citi Field. Beautiful ballpark. Yes, I am a Yankees fan, so I was still rooting for the Mets because, listen, you know, I'm from New York. It's not natural to root against a New York team unless they're facing the Yankees. You know, I'll root for the Mets, even though I'm a Yankees fan, as long as they're not playing against the Bronx Bombers. All right, any other team in the league, I'll root for the Mets. I like to see them, you know, win. In a perfect world, I'd like to see a Subway Series World Series, because that just means that every World Series game is going to be closer to me, you know, and maybe I'll have a chance to go to one day. Maybe not this year. We'll see. As I mentioned, both teams in the thick of it in the playoff race. You know, obviously, Yankees having Judge and Juan Soto, Gerrit Cole, they've probably got a little bit of a higher chance of making that World Series than the Mets do. But once you make it to October, all you got to do is get in and anything can happen. So we'll go through what's coming up this week for all your regional teams of interest, as obviously the big story with the Yankees, Aaron Judge just hit number 300 this past week against the Chicago White Sox in what was, it was an interesting at-bat, you know, a day after Juan Soto hits three home runs in one game, followed up with a solo shot in his first at-bat of the next game. So four home runs in five at-bats for Juan Soto. And the Chicago White Sox new manager, Grady Sizemore, decided they're gonna be a little more careful with Soto than they will with Judge. So, you know, it's late in the game. I want to say around eighth inning. And, you know, Soto, who's already, you know, been killing the White Sox all series, he's up to bat. They intentionally walk him to then get to Aaron Judge. Quite the interesting choice there from Grady Sizemore. I mean, you're doomed either way. You know, whether you pitch to Soto, who's been killing you all series, or whether you pitch to Aaron Judge, either way, there's a solid chance that that ball is at least getting hit for a base hit. Very good opportunity that it's going to be out of the ballpark, and that's exactly what happened. Then, you know, you're down 3-0 to Aaron Judge, and it would have been ball four had he not swung. But you hear him in the post-game interview, he's saying that, you know, he was pissed off that they intentionally walked Juan Soto and didn't give him a chance to hit. So, you know, 3-0 count, inside sinker, he's got the green light. He's pulling that thing down the line and left, and quickly escaped for his 300th home run. He's the fastest player in MLB history to eclipse that mark. And, you know, if he hadn't started his career so late, I think he was, you know, 26, 27 maybe, around there when he made his debut around 8 years ago. If he was called up as a younger prospect, we could seriously be talking about someone with the opportunity to break the all-time home run record. Obviously, that won't happen because, you know, to break whether you believe in Hank Aaron or Barry Bonds being the all-time home run leader, that's your opinion. But either one, you know, Judge is probably not even going to get close to 700, maybe 600 if he's lucky. I still think he has a lot left in the tank. He's got a lot left to prove, but that's you know, there's a reason that we haven't seen very many players as of late even join that 500, especially that 600 home run club. I mean, after Albert Pujols joined the 700 club years back, I don't know when the next time we're going to ever see another player join that elusive club again. So if Aaron Judge was called up earlier, he might have had a shot. But, you know, when all is said and done, we're going to appreciate what he was able to do in such a short time span. You know, you look at how many games it took him to reach 300 home runs, 955 games. To put that in perspective, Ralph Kiner, who did it the second fastest, did it in 1,087 games, so 132 games more. That's practically a whole entire MLB season. Ryan Howard did it in 1,093. Juan Gonzalez did it in 1,096 games. A-Rod and Giancarlo Stanton did it in 1,117 and Stanton in 1,119 games. So this alone should tell you how dominant Aaron Judge has been since he's been called up to the majors. And if he can, the thing with Judge is he always seems to slow down come playoff time, because I don't know whether it's the fatigue of the long season, if it's a mental thing. If it is a mental thing, having Juan Soto hitting right before him should help him out, because hopefully it'll alleviate some of that pressure on him to be the, you know, lone guy to get it done come October. But man, this is the Yankees, you know, chance to win. If you find a way to lose with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge on your team, we have to start talking about whether, you know, this is an Aaron Boone issue, whether this is a front office issue. Because how can you not put a winning baseball team around Aaron Judge and Juan Soto? I mean, you have two of the top five hitters in the entire major leagues, two of the top three hitters in the American League. And if you still somehow can't find a way to get it done, that is a huge problem. You know, you have pieces around them. You could have made more moves at the deadline. Jazz Chisholm getting hurt, again, a UCL injury and getting sent to the IL. He was your big trade deadline acquisition, and losing him definitely hurts. But you should have a good enough team around Aaron Judge and Juan Soto to at least compete. Whether it's the pitching not holding up or the rest of the lineup going cold, it seems like there's bound to be some issue. If everybody clicks, this team is going to be a clear World Series favorite. You see what happens when, you know, guys contribute, when Austin Wells is hitting close to 300 since early June, when I can't believe Alex Verdugo is still hitting leadoff, when anybody in that lineup can produce at the leadoff spot, whether it's Volpe or Jazz or anybody but Verdugo. You know, if you ask me at this point, call up Jason Dominguez, have him, you know, take Alex Verdugo's locker and just tell him to get out of town, because Verdugo has just not been the player he was at the beginning of the season. If he could get hot again around the perfect time, that'd be great. Because at the beginning of the season, you saw that he has flashes of when he can turn it on and, you know, be one of the better hitters in this lineup. But his you know, OPS has been on a steep decline the last couple months. I think he's like one for close to 30 in his last, you know, 30 at bats in with runners in scoring position. So it's just, It's rough out of the leadoff spot. If you can figure that out, that'll certainly help. Even if, you know, you throw Volpe back out there. I know he started to struggle a little bit at that leadoff spot, and he's been doing good towards the bottom half of the order. But if you can get a guy out there with some speed to hit leadoff, if you get him on base, you know, you might have a much higher chance of Juan Soto or Aaron Judge just knocking them home with a base hit. So this Yankees team, as you know, as great of a position they're in, you know, they're sitting well above 500, close to, you know, first in the American League East throughout the whole year. They're clearly going to make the playoffs. There's still just something missing. You know, they haven't looked like that dominant team we saw at the beginning of the season in quite some time. So I guess we'll see if, you know, if Juan Soto and Aaron Judge can stay hot come postseason time. We'll see if the pitching can hold up. You know, Gerrit Cole hasn't necessarily been himself. Luis Gil has had a great season. Rodon's had his ups and downs. You know, you hope Clark Schmidt comes back healthy and is the same pitcher he was before he got hurt at the beginning of the season. You really hope the bullpen can hold up because, well, there's not a lot of relievers in that bullpen that I trust to, you know, go out in a postseason situation and get you the tight save or, you know, keep the game under in reach. But man, this is your chance, you know, especially with if Juan Soto, you know, is a free agent this upcoming offseason, winning the World Series is one of your best pitches to be able to retain him. You know, so you already won once, you can run it back. You already have most of that core retained for a while. You're going to lose some pieces, but they're guys that you're okay with letting walk, like Verdugo or Gleyber Torres. These are guys you don't necessarily need on your team anymore. And you can call up guys like Dominguez or, you know, any other prospects that you want to see you see on the field and give them an opportunity to get better. And if you can win, that's your best shot at re-signing Juan Soto. Whatever money he wants, they better just open the checkbook. Because you know for a fact other teams are going to be willing to spend more than you. But you have to find a way to make your deal more appealing. You know, teams were offering Aaron Judge more money when he was a free agent. The Yankees were somehow able to convince him. Part of that deal, I'm sure, him being the captain of the Yankees. This all matters. But I don't think Aaron Judge is going to have a problem with the New York Yankees paying Juan Soto more than him. Nobody's going to have a problem with Juan Soto being the highest paid player on the team because he's 25 freaking years old and is already one of the best players in the entire MLB. You do whatever you can to keep him. All right, you do whatever you have to do. Tonight, they will take on the Detroit Tigers in game 3 of this series. It's Marcus Stroman slated to get the start for the Yankees against Tarik Skubal of the Tigers, their ace. So that's going to be a tough matchup. They travel... Yeah, they are at home against Cleveland for a 3-game series. Looking like we're going to see Luis Gil, Nestor Cortes, and Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees in that series. And we will be right back next week recapping the Colorado Rockies series at home, where we should see Carlos Rodon, Stroman, and Gil on the mound in that one. I mean, the Rockies, that's a series you got to at least win. You know, it shouldn't be close. It honestly, the White Sox series shouldn't have, you know, been a 2 out of 3 win either. Those are series that you really should sweep. But, you know, if they can at least win the series against Colorado, that's you just need to keep winning series. Then it's, you know, Washington on the road after that, and Washington, another team that you should really be able to beat with no problem. So with, you know, this Yankees team, it's you know, they're in a prime spot. They have a prime opportunity to do something great here and win a World Series for the first time in, you know, 15 plus years. Since 2009, it's been. So whatever they got to do, you know, whether you got to call up some kids, give them an opportunity, whether you got to retool the lineup, just you got to find a way to win. You can't possibly lose with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and expect to just, you know, run things back the next season and be right back in the same position. Now, Aaron Judge is only getting older. Gerrit Cole is only getting older. All these guys are only getting older. Your window is starting to close, and you can't waste a historic career like Aaron Judge's. All right, I said we'd get to the Mets and the Red Sox. We'll do that next segment and a little bit of NFL football. Coming up next here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. Stay tuned. More coming up right after this. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of The Hot Seat live every Sunday morning. And we are back here on the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. I said during the last segment that we would get into a little bit of Mets and Red Sox. Went a little long-winded talking about the Yankees, but you know, there's no shortage of topics to talk about when it comes to the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, all of our teams of interest. You know, it's the heart of baseball season. I know I've been talking a lot about it's almost football season. You know, NFL starting soon, college football. It's exciting, but it is still baseball season. And there's still a lot yet to happen as we're only, you know, in mid-August. There's still a good month and a half left in the regular season, 2 months. And then once playoffs start, it's going to be exciting. So we'll look ahead at what the Mets and the Red Sox got going on this week as the Mets, you know, they're right neck and neck with the Braves and the other National League wildcard teams. They got a solid chance of making the playoffs. I think with the roster that they have built, you know, they're too good to miss out. I mean, when you got Pete Alonso starting to take shape, Francisco Lindor's been, you know, pretty consistent all year. Mark Vientos has been, you know, a real bright spot in this Mets lineup. I mean, he's kind of come up out of nowhere and taken this third base position, you know, by storm. I don't think if anybody said at the beginning of the year that he'd be one of the, you know, big reasons that the Mets are fighting for a playoff spot, I wouldn't believe you. You know, the only issue with them is their pitching. I don't know if it's, you know, playoff ready. I mean, they're losing their ace Kodai Senga for the entire season. Maybe if they made a deep run, he'd be able to pitch later on in the postseason, but likely not seeing him. You know, the bullpen is not that great. You know, outside of, you know, Sean Manaea has been phenomenal for them, you know, his last few starts. Paul Blackburn's been pitching pretty good. David Peterson's been pretty good. Quintana's been, you know, hit or miss. Severino's hit or miss. They've got some solid starting pitchers, but when it comes down to it in the postseason, you need, you know, three or four high-quality pitchers just to get you through because you can't live with giving up 4 or 5 runs a game. And we've seen with this Mets team, you know, some days their pitching can be on point, give up, you know, 1-3, or some days they'll be giving up 9, 10, 11, 12 runs. So we'll see. They're just finishing up this series against the Miami Marlins. That game is actually about to start at the end of this edition of the hot seat. That game pitches will start at 12:05. Paul Blackburn on the mound and facing off against Valente Belozo of the Miami Marlins. Then they stay at home at Citi Field. They've got the Baltimore Orioles coming into town for a 3-game series. Then they are on the road against the San Diego Padres for a 4-game road trip, as they're on the road for a while after that. They got a 3-game road trip against Arizona, followed by the White Sox. Finally back at home at Citi Field, not until September. So after this, you know, beginning of this upcoming week against this Orioles team, they're on the road, they're traveling for quite some time, and that this is, you know, the road stretches down at this later point in the season that they'll start to give you some wear and tear. You know, they start to feel a little longer than the beginning of the season. They really start to, you know, separate who's built to last throughout this entire season and all the way into the postseason. So Mets playing some good baseball lately. We'll have to see if this is going to translate to the postseason. I see them making it in that last wild card spot, but I don't know how far I see them. They'd have to, you know, the bats would have to get real hot down the stretch here, especially come playoff time, for them to make any sort of, you know, big splash in this year's postseason. For the Red Sox, they just finished up a series on the road against Baltimore. Now they travel to Houston for a 3-game series that starts tomorrow. They just finished this series at Baltimore at 1:35 today. Cutter Crawford on the mound against Trevor Rogers for Baltimore. After a 3-game road trip to Houston, they are back at home next weekend against Arizona. So, you know, we will recap that all for you next week on the hot seat. And this Red Sox team, just like the Mets, right in the thick of it for a playoff spot. You know, they're close in that American League wild card standings, but it is a tight race. You know, you got the Royals in there, the Mariners, and then there's a good amount of teams that aren't too far behind. You know, the Rays, the Tigers, albeit most likely not making the postseason, they could go on a hot streak here towards the end of the year and all of a sudden claim that third spot. So Red Sox kind of in the same boat as the Mets, where they have a good lineup. They have a very young lineup too. You know, Willie Abreu's been a bright spot. Sandy Rafaela, another young star who's, you know, could be a potential big part of this Red Sox team in the future. Rafael Devers is obviously still doing his thing, still hitting the ball well. Yoshida is starting to turn the corner. This Red Sox team does have some great players in the lineup, but the pitching that was so good at the beginning of the season that made you think, okay, maybe this Red Sox team has a chance, they have not been nearly as good as of late. You know, they have not necessarily been able to hold teams to very low run counts. They've given up at least, you know, 4 or 5 runs in a lot of their recent starts. And even, you know, their pitchers that started the year so great, like Tanner Houck, who was by far one of the best pitchers in the American League the first month or so of the season, he has all of a sudden fallen off a cliff, pretty much. You know, he has just not been the same player in any sort of aspect. It's tough. It's tough times for Red Sox fans just because they're right there. They're so close, but I don't think that they have enough to really get it done. I mean, there's some other very talented teams in this American League wildcard race, especially teams like the Royals and the Mariners, like I mentioned, that I don't know if the Red Sox are going to be able to compete with them. So we'll see. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the Red Sox, the Mets, and the New York Yankees as well. The fall is just prime time for sports. You know, you got MLB postseason, football is back, basketball is starting up again soon. The schedule for the NBA just got released, actually. We'll dive into that during the next segment during our hottest headlines. But as far as baseball is concerned, Yankees looking good lately. Still, you know, not super confident come playoff time, just because maybe it's the, you know, cynical person in me that just feels like something is bound to go wrong for this Yankee squad in the postseason. But maybe that's just, you know, me trying not to get my hopes up, trying not to jinx this team. Red Sox, Mets, right there fighting for a playoff spot. I don't know if they have what it takes to make it. If I had to pick a team, I'd probably go Mets, make it, just because they have a little bit less competition for that last wild card spot. You know, the Red Sox have to face off against, you know, the Twins, the Royals, the Mariners, and plenty of teams that are fighting for that spot. And, you know, albeit the Mets are kind of right in the thick of it too, with the Braves, the Giants, the Reds, the Cardinals. So maybe the Mets do have, you know, a bit of a tighter race, but I think the Mets just have the more experienced, better overall lineup. And as long as their pitching can somewhat hold up, I think they'll be just fine. All right, moving on to the new football news that's coming out as well. It is almost football season, and we will keep you up to date with everything going on with the Jets, the Giants, the Buffalo Bills, as we do carry Buffalo Bills games here on the station, so you can hear those every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whenever they're playing. You can listen to those right here on 104.5 The Team. But we'll start with the Jets, as we'll get into this in the next segment, but they're missing a key piece on their defensive unit. I'm sure you've probably heard about this already, but we'll dive into that coming up in a little bit. Outside of the big news surrounding the Jets, I just don't know how confident I am in Aaron Rodgers. Listen, this team is great. Okay, Breece Hall, great running back. Garrett Wilson, great wide receiver. They went out, got some more weapons, you know, picked up Mike Williams, Xavier Gibson. They beefed up the offensive line with Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses and drafted Olufoshinu in the first round. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is over 40 years old. He just doesn't have that much left in the tank, I don't think. And you're banking your whole entire season on a 40-year-old quarterback staying healthy. We saw what happened last year when Aaron Rodgers went down early, and the entire Jets season completely went off the rails. You knew right then and early, within, you know, 4 snaps of week 1, that the Jets season was all over. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a similar thing happen this year. And you never root for any injuries. You know, that's the last thing you ever want to see when it comes to watching sports. But you got to be realistic. I mean, this guy is 40-something years old, still playing in the NFL. Somehow Tom Brady was able to do it, but he was very well protected. He wasn't trying to move around too much. He had plenty of time in the pocket. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that luxury. And sure, they put a great offensive unit around him, but outside of the chance that he might stay healthy, I just don't see what there is to be confident about in this team. You're banking on if he's healthy. If I had to put the house on it, I'm having them miss the playoffs because I just foresee something derailing this season, whether it be Aaron Rodgers or say, you know, a different player gets injured or whatever it may be. They're already in a tough division alone with the Bills and the Dolphins. But now with the Jets will be an interesting story. We'll leave it at that. The Jets this season are going to be a very interesting story because if they are healthy, they will be a very talented team and they're going to be fun to watch. The Buffalo Bills are also in a similar situation as the Jets as far as missing a key piece of their defense. Again, we'll dive into that during the next segment with the hottest headlines. But the Bills, you know, they had a tough offseason as far as moving things around. You lose Stephon Diggs. 6 of their 8 captains from last season are not returning, so you're missing out on a lot of leadership. And at this point, it's pretty much Josh Allen's team, and we'll see how far he can take them. You know, they have still a solid defense. You know, still plenty of good players to go around. The wide receiver room, it's very difficult to replace a guy like Stephon Diggs. You really can't replace a guy like Stephon Diggs, but they went out, tried to get some guys in that wide receiver room to make Josh Allen's life a little bit easier without Diggs. Drafting Keon Coleman, who I think is going to be a great player, helps. Going out and getting Curtis Samuel. James Cook should have another good season at, you know, in the backfield. If he can figure out how to catch a ball, he'll be a great dual threat running back. But he's just, his issue is that he drops way too many passes. And I just don't know. I mean, I see the Bills winning the division for sure, but I think their Super Bowl window might be gone. You know, they were never able to get over the hump against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then you lose Stephon Diggs. It's just, it's getting to that point where what more can they do? You know, you thought they had it a few years back. Josh Allen is clearly, you know, the quarterback that can lead this team to a Super Bowl, but it's unfortunate you're in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes because he, year after year, seems to have the answer to this Buffalo Bills team. So we'll see what happens with the Bills this upcoming season. Like I said, I see them winning the division. I don't know how confident I am in them come playoff time, just because this AFC is a stacked conference. All right, real quick before we go to a break, the New York Giants. Well, they're the New York Giants. I don't expect much from them this season. I think they'll be lucky if they win 6 games again. They got a tough schedule. The defensive front is great. One of the best in the league. Outside of that, they're okay. The offense, Malik Nabers is going to be great. Devin Singletary is a good pickup. If the O-line can block for Daniel Jones, I think he'll be good. But I just don't see this team making a lot of noise. I could be wrong. You know, the Giants could surprise you. Brian Daboll's a great coach. But I just don't see this Giants team making any sort of noise in the division, in the playoffs. They need a big rebuild, I would say. And who knows, that might start with the quarterback position if Daniel Jones isn't their guy for the future after this season. All right, I mentioned that we're going to dive into some of the stuff that I didn't want to talk about this segment during the hottest headlines segment coming up next. So be sure to stay tuned for that because that will be coming up for you right after this break. It's Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here with you on a Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFredsMedia on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDS DDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of the hot seat. And we are back here on the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app. And there were some headlines that, you know, I could have mentioned with the Bills and the Jets specifically last segment, but I figured it was only right to save them, you know, let it sit, let it marinate a little bit, and, you know, dive into it more here during the actual hottest headline segment, because these are some pretty hot headlines that, you know, I figured deserve to stand out a little bit and not be thrown in with the rest of the NFL stuff last segment. So we'll lead with that because I don't want to keep you waiting too long. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. Not great news. I guess neither of them are really great news, but not great news for Bills fans as linebacker Matt Milano is out indefinitely with torn biceps. Biceps, plural. So he must have torn both his biceps? I mean, how do you even do that? Ugh, that sounds terrible. But yeah, Matt Milano out indefinitely, Pro Bowler last year. He will undergo surgery with the hope of trying to return possibly in December. And Coach Sean McDermott confirmed Milano had a biceps injury ahead of their joint practice this past Thursday with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but did not specify it was a tear. Yeah, very tough. He only played 5 games last season. He was a 2022 Pro Bowler and first team All Pro, and then was injured last season against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. And, you know, he's dealt with injuries throughout quite a bit of his career. You know, he was just working his way back from the right leg injury suffered last year, and then finally makes it back, fully participating in training camp. And, well, it's a tough blow, you know, especially to this Bills defense that is losing a lot of guys, especially, you know, in the secondary that aren't coming back this season. You really needed someone else on that defense to step up, and Milano was going to be the perfect guy to step up and, you know, maybe be a leader and a captain for this defense. And now you're losing him for at least, I don't know, 14, 15 weeks. And by that point, you can bring him back, but it's going to take him a couple weeks to get back to game speed. The bright side, should the Bills be in position for a playoff spot, he will be back just in time for that. So when it really matters and when, you know, the games are that much more important, he should be cleared to return to football activities. But still a tough blow for the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of tough blows, the New York Jets, as they just earlier this offseason traded for edge rusher Hassan Reddick. Although it's taken an ugly turn, as the Pro Bowl edge rusher officially requested a trade from the New York Jets. He's had some contract disputes with them, hasn't been showing up to training camp, hasn't been to practice. He's clearly, you know, holding out for the right deal. And then it got to a point where he couldn't take anymore and officially requested a trade from the team. And Joe Douglas, the Jets' general manager, said, "We're not going to trade you." He says, "We have informed Hassan that we will not trade him, that he is expected to be here with his teammates, and that he will continue to be fined per the CBA if he does not report." Wow. Reddick is clearly unhappy with his contract, and he's, as of right now, missed over 20 days of training camp, getting close to 30 days. And let's see, $50,000 fine per day. We're talking, let's see, if you count the fines and the bonus money that he's losing, that would have been part of his offseason bonus, this holdout has cost him over $1.5 million. I mean, $1.5 million? At what point do you just, you know, say forget it and just suit up just so that you can make some money again? I guess the whole purpose of this, you know, holdout is to earn more guaranteed money down the road to, you know, get a contract that seems right for him. But as of right now, he's only hurting himself. And this Jets team clearly wants him there. If they want him that bad, they'll meet his contract expectations, but I don't know. I don't know. Tough news for the Jets because Hassan Reddick is, you know, a key piece of that Jets defensive front. And as I mentioned last segment, you don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he could get hurt again. And you really need that defense to step up. If it is a minor injury, if Aaron Rodgers does get hurt and he's able to return for the playoffs and it isn't a season-ending injury like we saw last year, they're still going to need to be competitive until he's able to play again. And having Hassan Reddick on that defensive line is going to be a big part in that. So we'll see if this ever gets resolved, or maybe he does get traded away from the Jets. Either way, if he does get traded, you know, the Jets are going to want to get back some of what they sent out to get him. So we'll see what happens there. We'll keep you up to date. And hopefully it's good news for Jets fans coming soon that they somehow get this contract figured out. Moving to a little bit of MLB news, it was Weston Wilson who became the first Philadelphia Philly rookie to ever hit for the cycle. Just this past Thursday night, towards the end of the game, he got the double and secured himself his first career cycle, the second cycle of the season by a rookie, as Wyatt Langford hit one earlier, as also Yordan Alvarez and Xavier Edwards of the Miami Marlins also hit for the cycle earlier this season. So, wow, we've already seen four cycles so far this year. That's impressive. Good stuff from Weston Wilson. I'm sure, you know, this will be a game that he'll never forget. And it's got to be a surreal moment. But wow, four cycles in one season. That's more than I expected. You know, you don't see the cycle too often, especially from two rookies. That's something to talk about for sure. A little bit more NFL news here. Jim Harbaugh, new coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. It was recently announced that he offered Colin Kaepernick, the former quarterback, a job on the coaching staff. But Colin Kaepernick still feels as though he has, you know, the talent and the ability to play at the NFL level still. While some GMs don't agree, Jim Harbaugh, you know, he said that he wants him on the coaching staff. He says, I love Colin, but he's not going to be with the coaching staff set for this year. And he's not going to be playing on the roster either. But he still has that opportunity to join the team following this season, I'm sure. Jim Harbaugh coached Colin Kaepernick when he was with the 49ers from 2011 to 2014. Even went to the Super Bowl together. And it was just announced this week that he did reach out to Kaepernick about joining the Chargers coaching staff shortly after being named coach way back in January. So Colin Kaepernick, you know, that we obviously know the history there. We know what he tried doing for the NFL, you know, trying to stand up for what he believes is right, and was kind of chastised by the league unfairly. I do think that there was a good number of years where Colin Kaepernick deserved to be on an NFL roster, even as a backup. There were plenty of quarterbacks getting paid in the league that were not as good as Colin Kaepernick. I mean, the guy led the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl, almost won it against Baltimore. But I digress. You know, different story from a different day. I think now, at this point of his life, sure, he's been training still. He's been staying in shape, but he hasn't played a competitive football game in years. It's been since 2017 that he hasn't played a football game. He turns 37 in November. I was just talking about how Aaron Rodgers is on the wrong side of 40, and I don't trust him to stay healthy. What do you expect from Colin Kaepernick, who's 37 and was a mobile scrambling quarterback? He's not going to be able to do that anymore. His arm accuracy was never overly impressive. So I don't see him making an NFL roster as a quarterback again, not at this stage of his life. There was a point where he definitely should have, but there's too many younger, more talented quarterbacks out there that teams are going to want as their backups and starters. But he still has the opportunity to be a part of an NFL squad again, as he does, you know, hopefully next season We'll see if he does take Jim Harbaugh up on that offer and join the coaching staff. But either way, Jim Harbaugh, Colin Kaepernick, back in the news once again. A little bit of an interesting story here coming out of Notre Dame, as the men's swim team has officially been suspended for at least 1 year after an external review found members of the team violated NCAA rules by wagering among themselves on results of their competitions and failed to treat one another with dignity and respect. So gambling violations have prompted Notre Dame to suspend their men's swim team for an entire year, as their athletic director, Pete Bavakia, said, in order to ensure that this behavior ends and rebuild a culture of dignity, respect, and exemplary conduct, we've decided to suspend the men's swimming program for at least one academic year. No details were revealed of the review done by a law firm on, you know, the issue. But wow, quite the interesting story coming out of Notre Dame. I mean, surely gambling, especially in athletics, when you're a part of that athletic field, is no joke. And these players that were on the team will be able to transfer out of Notre Dame should they choose to, but the ones that were involved in this and were caught gambling, these consequences are going to follow them to whatever school they decide to transfer to. So for a lot of them, they might not be worth the headache to a lot of these D1 programs. So an interesting story coming out of Notre Dame. I'm not sure what exactly is going to be made of these young men that were found guilty, but either way, just a dumb decision. I mean, you're in Division I playing a sport that you obviously love, and you're throwing it away by betting on it with your own teammates. Just have some common sense. It's stupid. It's honestly stupid. There's so many people out there that would love to have that opportunity to play Division I. And when you see people throw it away over stupid stuff like gambling, it's just, it can be frustrating for those out there that obviously didn't get that opportunity. All right, last story we got here for you today. The Atlanta Falcons finally making some moves to bolster their defense after trading with the Patriots for Matthew Judon, the pass rusher, and signing Justin Simmons, the two-time Pro Bowler, to a one-year contract on Thursday, joining Jesse Bates to combine into one of the best safety duos in the NFL. Falcons, who, as we know, weren't that great last year, finally making some moves. All right, coming up next, we'll dive into the college football top 25, our reactions to the rankings, and close out this edition of the Hot Seat. Stay with us. It's Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you to all the listeners out there. Your support is very much appreciated, and here at the Hot Seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the Hot Seat coming up for you right after this. And we are back with more of the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app. Thank you to everybody for tuning in today. It's been a fun morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend and has a great week planned up ahead. I mentioned in last segment, we're going to dive into these college football top 25 rankings, which just came out as the AP top 25 poll has officially been released. And there's some surprises on there, you know, some teams and spots that I wouldn't have expected. So starting at number 25, we have the Iowa Hawkeyes, as they actually just picked up the number one defensive end in the 2025 class in Epinesa. So Iowa Hawkeyes, you know, they're a team to be on the lookout for. Remember, this is the first year that we're going to see that 12-team playoff format used in college football. So you're going to see the top five conference winners as well as the, you know, seven highest seeds after them in the playoffs. So once you know, we get down to the end of the season, bowl season, it's really anybody's game. You know, we're no longer in that era where only, you know, you have to go undefeated, or if you lose more than one game in the regular season, your championship dreams are done. That's not the case anymore. You know, you can be a 10-12 seed, and especially as if you win your conference, doesn't matter how many losses you have. If you win your conference and you're you know, one of those teams that automatically gets in, you got a chance to shock the world. Moving up at 24, we have NC State. As we saw them go on a little run last year, both football and basketball, they were a big story just all over. As you know, their program has improved over the last few years. They're another team that might come out of nowhere to surprise you. At 23, we've got USC, Kansas coming in at 22, Arizona at 21, and Texas A&M rounding out the 20s. So we got some SEC there. Miami coming in at 19. You got Kansas State coming in at 18 in the preseason top 25. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma back-to-back at 17 and 16 for Oklahoma. Number 15, you got the Tennessee Volunteers. 14, the Clemson Tigers, followed by another Tiger at 13, the LSU Tigers. Utah coming in at 12, which Utah, they've got a pretty scary defense. You know, they're a team that you're not going to want to mess with. I was playing college football on Xbox with our guy MJ, Michael Johnson Jr., and let's just say the Utah Utes gave him a little bit of trouble the first time we played against each other. Rounding out the top 10, you got Missouri at 11, Florida State at 10, and we all remember that controversy that happened with Florida State just last season, as you know, a lot of people would have said that they earned their way to a playoff appearance just based off their undefeated regular season. And as unfortunate as it is, you know, you lose your starting quarterback for the rest of the season in week, you know, 10, 11, whenever it was, odds are you're not winning the playoffs anyway. So I mean, I said this at the time, I think, you know, it should have been the top four schools in the nation in college football. That should have been your four in the playoff. And I think, you know, Florida State, if Jordan Travis never got injured, they would have been one of those four teams. They would have been in the playoff. But without their starting quarterback, they had no chance going, you know, and beating a team like Georgia or Michigan or even Washington. You know, they had no chance without their starting QBs. So why you would put a team that has no chance in the playoffs to begin with? That was my whole stance on it. I understand, you know, these kids just had a whole entire season they put all this work into, and now you kind of take it away because one guy gets injured. And, you know, that's the whole reason you have backups and the reason why you recruit and scout more than, you know, one player at each position. But if you ask me, you know, they just weren't going to beat any of those other playoff teams. And I'd rather see a team in the playoff that has an actual chance of winning the thing. I mean, Florida State, they struggled down the stretch. The last few games of the regular season, they didn't have their quarterback. So I just, you know, it was a whole big thing. But speaking of last year's playoff, the national champions of last year, the Michigan Wolverines, coming in at number 9, pretty low for a repeating national champion. It's definitely noticeable that they have lost a lot of that roster that won the national championship. They also lose their head coach in Jim Harbaugh. You lose your starting quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. You lose a whole bunch of that, you know, defensive unit. But they still have a very solid defense. They're still going to be one of the best defenses in college football. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this Michigan team back in the college football playoff at the end of the season. At number 8, you got Penn State. Number 7, you got Notre Dame. Ole Miss coming in at number 6, that's a team that surprises me. You know, they were definitely good last year, but to see them at number 6, that threw me off a little bit. Number 5, Alabama, which has to be their lowest ranking in, you know, a good few years. I mean, when's the last time we went into a season for college football and Alabama wasn't ranked within the top 3? I guess, you know, the post-Nick Saban era hasn't been too kind to them, but they are returning starting quarterback Jalen Milroe, which obviously is a good sign for them, because anytime you can keep a player of that capability, of that talent on your roster, that automatically gives you a good chance because you're not starting over with a new freshman quarterback. You're not starting fresh. He already knows the playbook. He's already been in these situations before, these high leverage, high intensity situations. So Jalen Milroe in Alabama, I wouldn't be surprised to see them finishing as, you know, a top seed or a top team in the SEC. And if you win the SEC championship, you automatically get your shot in the playoffs. So wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama in the playoffs either. Texas coming in at number four, Quinn Ewers back at quarterback. Again, very talented team. We saw him in the playoff last year. They're going to be another team to look out for, you know, come the end of the season. Oregon at number three, which also a bit surprising considering they just lost starting quarterback Bo Nix to the NFL draft, but Oregon's still a pretty complete team. Ohio State coming in at number two, and no surprises here, the number one team in the preseason top 25 poll being the Georgia Bulldogs, who honestly were probably the best team in college football last year until they lost to Alabama in the SEC championship. So it's a pretty good ranking if you ask me. A lot of these teams don't surprise me. There are some teams that I think climbed a little high, but it's the best time of the year. College football season coming back soon. We'll have football on Saturdays, football on Sundays, get your Monday night football. It's the best time of the year. We always love when the fall rolls around and there's just football on all the time. All right, that'll do it for us here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope everybody has a good one out there. Be sure to tune in to the rest of our programs, you know, throughout the week and beyond. You got DiPietro and Rothenberg weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Big Board Sports with our guys Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr. They're on from 10 to 1. Carlin versus Joe will be with you from 1 until 3. And then it's The Drive with Dan Ball, Mike Jarapudo, every weekday and from 3 until 7. And, you know, if you're up at the track on, you know, this upcoming Friday, it's been busy at the track. But if you're at the track, feel free to say hi to the guys. They're always up there doing their shows, chilling out at the 4-Star Dave restaurant. So be sure to hop in, say hi, tell them that Vinny Frederick sent you from the Hot Seat. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of your hottest takes and hottest headlines and the hottest topics. Have a good one.